Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Reversing Hashimoto's. I'm your show host, Dr. Anshul Gupta. I'm the world's Hashimoto's experts. I help people reverse their Hashimoto's through personalized functional medicine plans. And today I'm really excited for the discussion we are going to happen because this is a topic that we have not covered actually in all the episodes we have done before. Like what is the role of liver, gallbladder, and its relation to Hashimoto's and thyroid. So before we delve into this discussion, let me introduce our speaker for today so that way you know about her and her credentials and things. And then we'll go to her story actually, because she herself battled with Hashimoto's disease. So Divya is a dedicated functional nutrition coach and educator, is on a mission to guide ambitious corporate crusaders towards a brighter future than their parents through a personalized path to reclaim their health and live life on their terms. Drawing from her 15 plus years of experience in the corporate world, Divya understands the challenges of conventional well-being approaches. Her health journey began with the removal of a gallbladder at age 20 and a Hashimoto's diagnosis at age 25. Faced with a conventional pill for every ill approach, she witnessed her mother's health decline with similar diseases, compelling her to take control of her health to avoid a compromised quality of life. Fueled by her passion for health and wellness, coupled with a desire to make a positive impact, Divya has become a wellness advocate. Divya's life is a testament to the transformation she brings to others, unlocking the full potential of their well-being. Divya, welcome to the show over here.
Thank you so much, Anshul, and thank you for the opportunity. I'm so excited for our conversation.
Absolutely. And battling with Hashimoto's at a young age of 25, I'm sure a lot of people who are listening over here want to know how you overcame that.
Oh, wow. You know, a lot of us in this space, you know, we start here because of our own health challenges. I know, Dr. Anshul, you'd battle Hashimoto's and your own health challenges as well. So a little background, you know, I'm an Indian immigrant and I came to the US now almost 20 years ago. And my health, and I came with a very stereotypical path. I did my computer science engineering in India and came here for my master's. And my health challenges started, you know, as I said in my introduction, at the age of 20. And I don't remember a lot of things about when I was 20, a lot of things that happened, but I remember clearly when my gallbladder pain attack started. It would happen at night. Every night around 2, 3 a.m., I would wake up in pain. And initially, I would wake up in pain and I'm just pacing the room because nothing else seemed to work apart from pacing the room. And, you know, you just chalk it up to maybe I ate something that didn't sit right with me that day, or it's just gas and, you know, it would be okay. But it kept happening every night and the pain just intensified. I did not even tell my parents at that point that I was waking up because I'm like, why worry them? But finally, after it happening quite a few times, I finally told my parents and they said, wake us up next time. And long story short, the pain just kept happening. The intensity kept increasing until one day I landed in the hospital to figure out what the hell is going on. And, you know, there was a radiologist present and he finally did an ultrasound where we're like, oh, you have gallstones. In one sense, there was relief that at least I know what it is. But honestly, I had no idea what the gallbladder was and what it did and what function. Why is it happening, right? And we go to the endocrinologist and the solution that was given, oh, we don't need, you know, we can just take it out and your pain will go away. And that sounded pretty great at that point because I was in a lot of pain, like every night being up. And I was doing my engineering. I was preparing for my exams. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to schedule my surgery after the exam so everything goes well. But life had other plans where one night, this all happened in a period of a few months. Until I can't tell you, I've been through childbirth, 48-hour childbirth. I would still say that pain was worse than that. I just woke up one night in pain. I'm in tears. I could feel my stomach like, you know, twisting. It was probably a muscle spasm. I was throwing up and had to be rushed to the hospital and my, you know, a surgery was scheduled, had to be taken out. And yes, I don't wish that upon anyone else, but you know, when a gallbladder is an organ, our body is so beautifully designed by whatever faith you believe and it has a function. And just taking it out is just like at the tip of the iceberg. if there is dysregulation with your gallbladder, there's probably something else happening underneath. But that root cause question was not was asked, hey, why did the gallbladder attack start in the first place? But my gallbladder was taken out and lo and behold, things got better. You know, you get back to your studies. I came to the US, but my health challenges continued where, you know, now when I look back, I was dealing with some sort of IBS, stress-related, new country. I was in an Ivy League school, making new friends. I was dealing with a lot of those post-traumatic. I would feel the same aches and pains in my stomach. I started working for a top four consulting firm on the road all the time. And I was tired, you know, very classic signs of hypothyroidism. Tired, no matter how much I sleep, I was tired. And my muscles would ache all the time. I would go to the doctor and they said, it's in your head. You're fine, go away. And it being young, it's very being so dismissed and you trust the doctors. And, you know, at that point, I didn't know how to advocate for myself. I was so young and I believed it. And I was so confused, like, I'm not feeling well. Something is off. And until by the time I was 25, my OBGYN was the one, I think you need to see an endocrinologist. I finally got diagnosed with Hashimoto's. And now you and I know there is a link, and we'll get into the topic today, that there is a link between our gallbladder and thyroid. But when I was 20, if someone had asked a question and looked deeper, maybe my thyroid could have been reversed or managed better. Who knows? But, you know, we all go through our experience, and it got me where I am today because it, you know, it really changed my life. And, you know, as I said in my bio, I was seeing my mom go through the same challenges. She had a gallbladder removed, even though she wasn't having any pain, followed by Hashimoto's. And then by the time I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's, she got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And I saw her life quality degrade. You know, all the steroids she had to take to manage the pain. And that's when I connected the dots that if I don't change anything, I could see my future. I'm following the same path just 20 years earlier than her. So that's when I'm like, okay, what can I change? What can I control? I wish we had your podcast 15 years ago so I could, you know, go into a lot of the great, you know, supplements, lifestyle, you know, tips that you provide your audience. But a lot of this information wasn't there. So, but I had to really dive into the literature, change my diet, change my lifestyle. And God, it made a huge difference. I could feel the difference. And that's when my love affair with holistic nutrition and lifestyle started. Went back to school to get my nutrition degree. I'm a restorative wellness practitioner as well. And I quit my Silicon Valley job to do this full time because I really found my true calling in helping people, impact people. And nobody has to go through what I did if it can be avoided.
Absolutely. That's an inspiring story. A lot of people who are listening over here, they want to kind of have the Cinderella story of yours, where went through a lot of trouble and did the right things and was able to get your life back. So awesome. So, I mean, obviously the bigger question is that what is the connection between the liver, the gallbladder and the thyroid? Because these organs are placed very like, you know, distantly in our body and people cannot put right. Two and two together. Well, how is my gallbladder and liver linked to my thyroid? So show us some light over there.
Absolutely. You know, our body is so beautiful. And, you know, as you said, these organs are a different position in our body, but they're interlinked. Nothing in our body works in isolation. And everything in our body is, our bodies, our organs are so multifaceted. They also don't provide, you know, perform just one function either. So like, you know, let's take a little step back. So for our thyroid to work, function properly, we need five organs to work synergistically with each other. Our brain, our thyroid, because the brain sends a signal to our thyroid, our liver and the gut. We'll get into the details, but that's where a lot of the conversion of your inactive thyroid hormone, T4 to T3 happens, and also your adrenals. So now how is it linked? You know, great, you know, that was my quest when I got into it. What's going on here? So our liver, which is one of the hardest working organ in our body, does so much. It produces bile, it produces cholesterol, it filters our blood, our vitamin D is processed, and it detoxes as well. It does a whole lot more that I'm probably missing, but it does a ton for us. And our gallbladder, which just sits right underside of the liver, and it's a small pear-shaped organ, is used to store the bile that the liver produces. And our bile is used to break down our fatty foods. It helps us digest fatty meals. So, and the liver acids producing, it stores it in the gallbladder so that it is in the right proportion and right concentration that we have the bile present whenever we eat a fatty meal. And bile is also made up of cholesterol, bile salts, and a few other raw materials that our liver uses as well. So now the way our liver, gallbladder, and a thyroid are connected, and again, there's such a synergistic relationship. You could have a thyroid issue and it could affect your liver and gallbladder, or vice versa. Your liver and gallbladder may not be functioning and could have a thyroid issue as well. Because our body has what, trillions of cells, and each of these cells have a receptor for a thyroid hormone. And I know, Dr. Anshul, you have covered this in extensively with the other podcasts. Thyroid controls a ton of different functions. It has a role to play in every function in a body, from digestion to energy, from metabolism to fertility, to your body temperature, you name it, right? So it plays a role. So our gallbladder and our liver also have receptors for this thyroid hormone. Now, if you have low thyroid, or if a thyroid is, you know, and it could be subclinical, it doesn't have to be that you have to be outside of the ranges. You could be on the lower and higher end. If you do not have enough the thyroid hormone, it affects your cholesterol production. It will affect your bile production. You can get elevated LDL and so much more. And now how does that impact, right? So if I don't have enough the bile, which is made of bile salts and cholesterol, if that's impacted, now what the bile that is stored in the gallbladder is gets a little thick, sludgy. It's mainly cholesterol. And the gallbladder also has a receptor for the thyroid hormone, the sphincter of Adi, which, you know, when you eat a fatty meal, it knows it needs to contract to release the bile into your small intestine. So when it doesn't have the thyroid hormone, it doesn't have the energy to contract effectively. So A, it's not releasing the bile out into your duct to digest your fatty meal. And so what happens? The bile is going to back up. It's going to get sludgy, and then it could potentially form gallstones. And, you know, 90% of the gallstones are cholesterol-based gallstones as well. So the other is, now if you don't, now the bile, you know, the cholesterol production, you're not producing, you know, cholesterol is not getting metabolized effectively in the liver. So again, all of these differences, so now we can see how by having low thyroid hormone can really impact your liver and your gallbladder. And if you, the bile is not being released, you're not digesting your fatty foods, and it can have a lot of downstream impact.
Absolutely. I think you pointed out very interesting point over here. A lot of people, when they are told that they have cholesterol stones or any kind of stones in the gallbladder, the first thought is that, okay, well, I think it's because of my diet that I'm eating too much cholesterol, and that's the reason it is causing it. Well, what you're explaining is that, you know, it's because of your thyroid issues and the collection of cholesterol, or basically, like, you know, thickening of the bile in the gallbladder, which is causing it. So yeah, it's very important to put these two and two together. So that's a very nice point that I think a lot of people would not be aware of. So thank you for sharing that. And absolutely, I think the bile also does a very, very important job for detoxification for our gut. You know, like, we always think it's basically the liver, right, which has been associated with detoxification, but the gallbladder and the bile also plays an important role in detoxification, right? So that is maybe another reason that it is important for the thyroid health.
Absolutely. You know, as you know, nothing in our body works, has just one function. So bile, as you know, I mentioned, it helps with digesting fatty foods. It needs to break it down. The two is, as you just rightly pointed out, Dr. Anshul, it also helps with detoxification. It can conjugate to estrogen and the hormones that we don't need. It helps to get rid of it. And guess what hormones are made of? Fat. So mm-hmm. bile plays a role there. And number three is, bile helps us utilize our fat-soluble vitamins, that are vitamin A, D, E, and K. And I'm sure you see a number of people in your practice, Dr. Anshul, that who are low in vitamin D and a lot of these fat-soluble vitamins, and you can keep taking supplements and it's not, you know, the levels are not coming up. The question to ask is, you know, if you don't have the right concentration of bile, you know, just think of it as a potion, right, that we make. It just not just having bile, the right cholesterol amount, the right bile salts for it to break down, it'll be hard for us to absorb these fat-soluble vitamins, and then it's going to play a downstream impact. And the bile also is a potent antimicrobial, right? We get exposed to so much bacteria, pathogens outside. The bile also helps us protect us from that. And now if you don't have enough bile flowing, now you can see how you can lead to gut dysbiosis eventually. And it also signals our HCl production, which is hydrochloric acid that's in our stomach production. It has a role signaling in that direction too. So yeah, the bile plays a multifaceted role. And with someone like me, right, I don't have a gallbladder. And in the US, I was looking up at some stats. In a year, almost 600,000 gallbladder removal surgeries are performed.
Wow.
And in the US, there are around 2 million people with gallstones. And I don't know how many of what percentage of it, you know, could be saved if we just, okay, you know, really focus on gallbladder, liver health, and thyroid health as well. So for someone like me who doesn't have a gallbladder, yes, the bile is being produced. Yes, I can live without a gallbladder, but it's just continuously trickling down this small intestine. There's no place for it to collect, to get concentrated, for it to break down my fatty food. So I really have to work on that for my health to get better.
Absolutely. And I think that's a big issue with a lot of people who do not have their gallbladder, like, you know, how to manage, you know, like their diet and especially the fatty food sometimes will give them stomach upset and diarrhea. So, but before we move on to like what to do about it, I would like to kind of, you know, talk a little bit more about the gallbladder dysfunction, right? Because a lot of people have been told, well, your gallbladder is not working, right? Either they have the gallstones or they're just told that, you know, your gallbladder doesn't squeeze enough of the bile out. So, I mean, what are the particular, like, are there any particular tests that you find it useful for people that can know whether their gallbladder is functioning good or, you know, like literally, like, you know, there is no way for them to know how to assess their gallbladder function?
Yeah, great question. You know, that's somebody listening to this episode can be like, you know, how do I know? So let's talk about some of the symptoms, right? Something without even the test that you can start noticing is, if you have bloating, especially after eating a fatty meal, that's a sign. So, you know, bloating sometimes can be caused, or you could have SIBO, or, you know, not digesting well. Yes, that could happen too. But especially after a fatty meal, if you're bloating, that's a sign. Number two is there could be stomach distension, excessive burping as well. Three is if you start seeing clay colored stool, because bile really provides the color of your stool is really influenced by the bile. And if you see lighter colored stool, that could also signal to you that there is gallbladder dysfunction and bile production dysfunction going on. And again, if you're low in your of those fat soluble vitamin, you know, your A, D, and K, because we need those vitamins, right? D is for your immune health. A is for your eye health. You know, how many people say, oh, I'm getting old, I need to go get glasses. You know, why? And K is for your blood clotting. And vitamin E is such a powerful antioxidant that you need in your body. So if you find yourself low in these fat-soluble vitamins, could be a sign. And, you know, one, your body, you know, well, gallbladder attacks. Like, you know, mine was yelling at me when I was in pain. Some people, you could just, you know, just on your right side is where your liver is under your ribs. So if you find pain there, so really do start looking at your gallbladder. And for some of the tests, you know, really looking at your liver function would be great in your AST, your ALT that you get in your annual physical as well. Getting your GGT could also be other tests to really dive in to see if how are you performing, not your standard ranges, but if you're within the optimal ranges.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, very important point about, we always talk about in the thyroid world about the optimal ranges, right? Because, you know, like the standard test, you know, sometimes, you know, like might miss, like initially you pointed out whether you have subclinical thyroid disorders, then also you're affecting your thyroid or your gallbladder functioning. Similar with the liver functioning, you know, like depending on where your enzyme levels are, that might also signify gallbladder. So the next question is that, let's say, like, you know, people have been told that they have gallstones. The standard care procedure is that, okay, remove your gallbladder, because sooner or later those gallstones are going to block the gallbladder, and then that is going to cause, like, you know, acute infection, and that's the reason. So in your experience, you know, like, what have you seen, you know, once you get a gallstones, is there a way out of it, or the only way out of it is removing the gallbladder?
I hope not. Like, you know, there, my first preference would be really definitely working with your doctor to how can you keep the organ? You know, it plays a role. And I'm sure, you know, Western medicine has its place and it can save lives. So there probably are scenarios there where you need to take it off. As you said, there could be an infection or something worse. So definitely work with your medical, your doctor as well. But in my experience, if you have gallstones, number one, get your thyroid checked. If you have gallstones, you know, it is, as we said, you know, there is a connection to go get your thyroid checked, because if even if it's subclinical, and I know you did a great episode earlier with Dr. Sam Shear talking about the different lab tests, not just the TSH. Dr. Anshul, I know the number of times my clients come to me and they with the blood work and it's just TSH, and I know it looks good. I'm like, where is your free T3, free T4, your reverse T3, but still they wouldn't run. Because that really will give you an indication, because TSH is just one part of the story. In the liver, the T4, which is the inactive form, needs to be converted into T3, which is the active form. And our body is beautiful. It wants to be in balance. It's our friend. It's not our enemy. So it works really hard to work, you know, to balance it for a long time. Because by the time it shows up in the blood report, it's already been dysfunctional for a very long time. So yes, if you have, I've had gallstone, gallbladder, if you have gallstones, definitely start getting your thyroid checked and really getting, if you can manage your thyroid, improve your T4 and T3, that can really help to dissolve the stones and help balance it. And the other is also to start working on your gut health as well, because that also plays a role as well. So, you know, it's not a one approach. You have to look at it holistically of what's happening with your thyroid, what's happening with your gut health, and probably giving fatty food, not eating a fatty meal for some time, giving it a rest, because your gallstones, your liver is already burdened and it's not able to digest. Just giving it a break for some time while you work on your gallbladder could really help if you can potentially reverse it or save it or dissolve it and avoid the
Absolutely.
surgery route. What are your thoughts,
Absolutely.
Dr. Anshul?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Definitely, like, you know, there are options of dissolving the gallstones. You know, it will be nice to know what kind of gallstones they are, but absolutely correct that improving the gut health, overall microbiome of the gut, as well as, you know, like using sometimes bile salts could be a way, a potential way of dissolving these stones and see where you are.
Absolutely.
Let's switch over a little bit to the liver health. You know, like we have talked about the gallbladder. Liver is one of those things that a lot of people, you know, like know about, that it plays a very important role in detoxification. A lot of people with Hashimoto's or with hypothyroidism have been diagnosed with a fatty liver disorder. And they have been, like, you know, looking for reasons or ways of improving it. So, like, you know, what are your thoughts or like connection between the fatty liver and thyroid? What potentially, like, you know, things could be deranged because of fatty liver.
Yes, you know, this is what in the last few decades is when we have started seeing the a rise in the non-alcoholic fatty liver as well. And then a lot of it is based on the sad standard American diet, which has increased in refined carbohydrates. Our sugars have gone up. And that has led to, you know, excess glucose being stored as fat in our liver. You know, I mentioned earlier, liver does a ton for us. So liver is also the place where if you have blood sugar dysregulation, if your body is, your cells are not able to absorb the glucose effectively, it is going to go get stored in the liver. And secondly, with the thyroid, so when you don't have enough of the thyroid hormone, your cholesterol production can also go up. It's not metabolized. You are producing excess cholesterol and it's not really getting used. So that's why a lot of people with thyroid also see high cholesterol numbers as well. That could be, you know, hey, I'm not eating high cholesterol food. They start changing the diet, but why is my LDL going up as well? So that could be a sign as well. And we also have to, like, you know, the liver is where a lot of the conversion takes place. So really taking care of your liver health from a detoxification is key. So how do you support it? You know, diet number one,
We'll
you
talk
know.
about that, but you know, like you mentioned a very important point, you know, which I want to talk to people about is in terms of the conversion of the T4 to T3. A lot of people think it is happening, like, you know, in each and every organ, but it happens mainly in the liver. A lot of people whose livers is not functioning, that's where we see that the conversion is not happening. And a lot of people, as you know, are being, you know, given this medicine called levothyroxine, which is only T4. and they still have a lot of symptoms and they're not feeling good. And majority of it, there could be the reason that the liver is not functioning fine and the conversion is not happening. And that's where I think, you know, supporting their liver health could be a game changer for them and maybe improve their symptom as well as the T through numbers.
You're absolutely right. You know, because the Synthroid, the popular medicine that's given, it is just T4, which is the inactive form that your cells can do nothing with. It has to be converted to the active form T3. And it happens in the liver, rightly, as you pointed out, and also in your gut. Also, the enzymes, the right enzymes need to be produced, and you have to have the right microbiome so it can do the conversion, so the cells can use the T3. So a lot of the doctors, and that's what I was prescribed too. Here's Synthroid. And, you know, for a lot of people, I know exactly for that reason doesn't work when the conversion is not happening. For me, it worked, but I stay on top of my numbers, and I had to be an advocate for myself to also get a T3 because I wanted to ensure I'm, you know, it's in the optimal range. And for people listening, if you are on Synthroid and if you still have low energy, end of the day, you know, if you're adrenal, if you, you know, end of afternoon, you need a pick me up, really, really ask your doctor for a T3 number and really advocate for yourself. So that's number definitely how your liver health and having a fatty liver can impact your thyroid. Just your TSH numbers may look good, and the doctor said you don't have a thyroid issue. So that's why getting the whole panel is important, because your brain to the liver is working, brain to the thyroid is working well, and it's sending the right signal. It's producing T4, but it's the conversion that's not happening. And that could be
absolutely
easily reversed if you catch it earlier on. It's, you know, definitely manageable and reversible.
Great. So now we know what the problem is. Gallbladder and liver definitely plays a very, very important role in Hashimoto's and thyroid. Now, obviously, people would like to know how to fix it. So we definitely would like to know, like, you know, what people can do to improve their liver and gallbladder health. So if you want to take both together, that's great. If you want to kind of, you know, do something for liver and gallbladder separately, so go ahead with that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, everything is connected, so I'll do it together because you can't take one out of the other. So I really want to, you know, give very practical guidance to everyone listening on, you know, across nutrition, lifestyle, and supplements that can be really helpful here. So when we get into the nutrition standpoint, you know, having a whole plant-based, you know, with good protein, a right amount of animal protein and healthy fats is critical. And, you know, go back and listen to some of the previous episodes that we, you know, some of your other experts get into the detail. That's super critical for health. But for liver health, you know, really focusing on the bitter foods will be key. You know, bitter liver loves bitter foods. Like, so that's your arugula, your endives, your bitter melon or Kerala from where we come from. Yeah, it's called artichokes. Grapefruit. You know, nature has made these foods naturally to help us, you know, help for the liver function. Some of the herbs that are really beneficial are like dandelion root, milk thistle tea. Those can be incorporated as well. That can be very supportive for your liver. Artichokes are great. You know, one of the most liver loving food is like beetroot. I love beetroots. So having beetroots, lemon, turmeric, you know, adding these spices into your food, into your diet, will really be supportive of your liver. And one of the habits that I adopted now, it's been like more than 5 years, is when you wake up in the morning, do a hot water and lemon. You know, start your day. It's a very ancient Ayurvedic practice, and people are catching on to it in the Western world. But it does a lot. It supports detoxification, supports your liver, and does a lot. So that is one tip. I think that really helped me change my health game a ton. So that's from more on the nutrition front. When it comes to supplements, and if there, you know, I want to, you know, and if you do have a gallbladder, and if you're dealing with stones or gallbladder attacks, adding, you know, ox bile, bile salts, and even hydrochloric acid could be a game changer, because you need support in digesting the food. Because you're right now, your gallbladder is not being able to function, not being able to release the bile. It's, you know, because there's not enough thyroid hormone to contract and get the bile out. So adding bile salts, ox bile, hydrochloric acid can really help with digestion. Even digestive enzymes, apple cider vinegar before a meal could also be super helpful with if you still have your gallbladder intact. And if you don't have your gallbladder, someone like me, definitely add these into your diet, because you really need help. Because right now, when I don't have a gallbladder, there's a slow continuous trickle into my small intestine. So when I do eat a fatty meal, you may or may not have the right amount of bile present. So you need to have supportive these supplements from that I just mentioned above. And also ox bile, some of the herbal, the dandelion and milk thistle tea could be great. From the lifestyle perspective, as you are giving, you're dealing with a gallbladder, if you have stones or condition or even a liver, reducing or eliminating alcohol for a little bit could be helpful, because just to give your liver a rest, your gallbladder some rest, and perhaps even giving fatty meals a break for a little bit. So you can, while you can reset and rejuvenate, because our liver cells rejuvenate every 6 weeks, if I remember that. So just giving it that time so it can rejuvenate before you start eating a fatty meal as well. So alcohol and, removing processed food. That goes without saying, removing processed food from your diet, because they're empty calories. They have a ton of toxins and additives that, then your liver has to do a lot more to get rid of it. And, toxins is another one. We live in a day and age. I don't think even if you go live in a jungle right now, that's going to be toxin free, right? And you have a great episode on this. We are surrounded by toxins, but let's control what we can, our environment, our home, the air, water, the personal care products you use, the cleaning supplies, so that you can just reduce the toxic burden on yourself. I think that's from a lifestyle perspective. And sweating is good. Movement is good. Exercise is good. And if whatever reason, if you're unable to exercise, maybe you have an injury, maybe, somebody's pregnant, or, leveraging saunas is a great way to start sweating, because sweating is one way we detoxify as well. I really recommend my clients, dry brushing is also a great way to stimulate your lymphatic system, which is our body's drainage system. These are some small tips that, if people start changes to your diet, adding some supplements and some lifestyle can really be very supportive for their liver and gallbladder and ultimately their thyroid health.
Absolutely. I think those are great practical tips. And I think that's what I want to do with people, is that just having some tips practically they can use in their life, because that is much more easier to implement and they can kind of take help from it. I think that's mm-hmm. where, I like your free gift that you're offering to people about the pantry swap. So tell more people about it. What is that gift they can avail from you?
No, absolutely. Making healthy meals starts with having a healthy pantry. So many times I work with clients and we start changing their diet, provide some recipes and menu. But soon I realize if the pantry is not set up right, if they're using the spices, the ingredients, which are loaded with toxin, they're not going to have a healthy meal, even though their intention was right. So that's what inspired me to make this resource for my clients and for any audience, to a healthy pantry swap guide. So if they go to my website, divyagupta.net, you can enter your email and it'll be sent to your email. An easy way to change your pantry, have healthy ingredients in there so you can whip up some healthy meals, and knowing that, they are as clean as possible, so you're not loading up on more toxins. So I was very excited to create that and share that with the audience.
Absolutely. And definitely will have these links, in the description. So please check out that healthy swap, especially as we are entering into the holiday season. You would like to know what are your options before you plan your holiday meals. So go check it out. Divya, thank you so much for coming over here. Such an important topic about gallbladder and liver health, because as you mentioned earlier, nobody can think of them linked to thyroid disorder. So linking it and giving practical tips is so huge. So tell people where they can find you and, can they work with you and how they can do that?
No, absolutely. Thank you, Doc. I want to say first, thank you so much, Dr. Anshul, for giving this opportunity. And really, for what you're doing, you have such great resources, conversations out there. And as I said, I wish I had that 15 years ago. When I started dealing with this, it would have been a game changer, and I didn't have to dig so deep to find it. But So yes, I, you know, in my practice, I work one-on-one, and definitely autoimmune condition, thyroid, gallbladder, and liver issues are near and dear to me. And I personally know how I felt. And as we are getting into the holiday season, and it's a season of giving, I wanted to offer your audience, if they sign up to work with me one-on-one for any of my program, I wanted to offer a 10% discount. And they can reach me through my website, divyagupta.net, or through a Calendar link that will be also in the show notes, where they can just book a discovery call with me as well. You know, I don't wish what happened to me on anyone. And that's my mission in life, to help reverse and, you know, get really people get to the root cause. So please, 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 if you think you have a gallbladder issue, or, you know, if any of the symptoms you resonated with it, get your thyroid checked.
Absolutely. Divya, thank you so much. And thank you for being so generous of offering this discount. Please, guys, you know, this is your time to work with her and get your life back on track before the holidays hit. So again, all these links will be in the show notes. So please check it out. And Divya, again, thank you so much for joining this conversation, and best of luck for the future. And any parting words you have for our people over here?
No, thank you so much. I think the parting words is, you know, knowledge is only powerful if it's actually, you know, if you put into action. I think Jim Quick said that. So I know we all listen to a lot of podcasts and great information. I think my one call to action for everyone is to apply. Just pick one or two things. You don't have to do everything together. Pick one or two things and apply it. And it takes, you know, and you'll see the change happen. So absolutely. Thank you. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Anshul, for what you're doing and for sharing your story and bringing all of us together on this topic. So I'm excited for 2024.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Divya. That's all, folks, we have for today for you. Hope you like it. We will be back again next week. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.